Welcome to the Inside Podcast. That's right, the Inside Pod, brought to you by Mike and Scotty. Maybe another name later. We'll see how that sticks. But for now, that's what you're listening to. And we're going to be talking to Mike in just a few minutes, for starters, about his second title, second trophy in the Black Diamond League with the Rockland Rockets. Great accomplishment for Mike and his Rockets. And later, Zach of the Memphis Grizzlies joining us on the initial Inside Pod today. Good conversation with Zach and where he hopes to be with his chicks, with his club over the next few seasons. So looking forward to that as well. I hope you guys enjoy it. And without further ado, let's rock on. Hello, Black Diamond Universe, and oh my gosh, we are, I was going to say back on the air. We're not back on the air, Mike, we're just on the air.
Yes, we are. How's that for excitement, Scotty? Yes, we are.
Yes, we. That's not really what I was looking for out of the gate, but you know, we're just rolling with this, and we'll see how it goes. Yeah, so, hey guys, it's been a while, haven't had a podcast on the BDL radio airwaves for actually I think it was last about a year ago exactly last December. Dad and I interviewed Matt, if I recall. That's the last time that we've seen any of us on the air. So yeah, Mike and I are just getting together here and trying to launch something new, trying to have a little fun. Hope you enjoy it. Don't know how it's going to go. Might suck. Might be awesome. We might just pat each other on the back for 2 hours. It's all good. So that's why we're here. And hey, hope you enjoy it in the process. Mike, did we decide what we're calling this shindig?
Well, we do have options. We have about 50 options, and I think we've decided all of them aren't good. So I think we're gonna have to keep working. I think our working name was The Inside, which I didn't mind, and you didn't mind, but that's about as good as we got. We don't mind the name. So I think we're going to have to keep working on something. But I think for now, that seems to be the working name until we come up with something better.
That works. Yeah, hey, we're open to suggestion. We're just here trying to get through COVID like everybody else up in our respective bedrooms and basements or down in our basements. And it's been a weird year, as I know it has been for everyone. Probably by the time you hear this, it will have turned the calendar over to 2021. So hopefully we are in for better things. We're in for an uptick in baseball, in all sports, in life in general. But we'll see what this new year has to bring for us. But yeah, I think, you know, I really miss BDL Media when it's not around, when it's not on the air. I like talking about our leagues. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's still, I consider this my primary hobby. So, you know, it's just fun to get together around a microphone virtually and shoot the breeze.
Yeah, I think TMO back in the day, And when Craig and John did that video podcast, Stuck in the Ivy, and the Pony Express, it's those types of things that make this league special. So I think it's a good thing that we're going to try to get some of that going again.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Loved my TMO days. I don't want to talk about it in the past tense. I hope that at some point Johnny and I can get something rolling again in some way, shape, or form with that. But for the time being, guys, this is us, and we're going to try to have a little fun. So Yeah, you are here with us on the inside. That's a Van Halen reference, in case you didn't know that. Maybe Joe, maybe, let's see, who else is a hard rock guy that I've learned? Maybe maybe Matt. Matt seems to be a hard rock music kind of guy.
Yeah, but that's a real deep reference. I don't know how many of those guys
that is that is a deep reference, and probably yeah. very few. Joe might.
Joe might.
Based on conversations I've had, I think Joe stands a chance of having gotten that from the get-go.
Yeah.
Probably no one else, unless no, that's probably it.
yeah, I think so. Like, we're looking like on the ninth track on 5150. This is not something that it's gonna get too much response from normal folk.
90% of the board is like, what's a 5150?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
California police code for the criminally insane.
Yes.
514, or maybe it's LA County. It's something like that.
I think it's LA County. Yeah, I think so. Well, guys, I believe that was a reference to a group in wrestling a couple years after that. They stole it. But beyond that, that's all I know about it.
You know, we should start a wrestling segment on this podcast and just see how far our ratings drop.
Oh, the people love it, Scotty. People absolutely love it.
What would Vince do? That's what we'll call it.
There you go. Yeah, people love that segment. We have to make sure to put that at the end of the show just to make sure people listen to some of this.
So speaking of the end of the show, here's kind of the format that we think we're going to try, at least here in the first few shows, guys. Of course, you know, we're big BDL guys, and Mike and I, we're big Hoops fans too. So there's going to be, you know, like 80% BDL talk. There's going to be maybe 20% BDBA talk, and we'll try to tack that on to the end of the show when there's BDBA content for those of you who aren't interested in sticking around for that. But big baseball fans, big NBA fans. So that's just kind of what I think our primary interest is in talking on this show. So that's what this is going to be about. And yeah, that's the longest intro I think we have ever tried on BDL Radio for any show. But hey, I'm just stuck up here in my Zoom corner in the bedroom, trying to take up time, trying to entertain myself. And I don't know why you're here if I'm trying to entertain myself. We need.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's a really good point. I've been awake for 5 hours. I'm in my basement. Nobody else in this house is awake. I just need something to do. So, hey.
5 hours?
It's 11 a.m. I was up at 6 as I normally am. So, and the rest of my family would be up at about, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, which is fun.
Okay. Whatever.
The key to a happy marriage is not seeing each other, Scotty. That's all I can tell you. That's the key to a happy marriage.
Well, we are 18 years in, Joe and I, and so far going strong. So I don't know that we subscribe to that exact same theory, but
that's a good point. But she has been put up for sainthood. Congratulations, Joe Beth. Congratulations on that.
As she should have by now.
You ain't kidding.
My gosh,
I wasn't supposed to agree with you so fast, was I? About her being up for sick. No, I shouldn't.
I'm beyond putting up a fight about it now. Mike. I'm 40 years old. I'm about to be 41.
Mm-hmm. You're a kid.
We started this league. Let's see. I was
five.
What 20 20 20 feels like five. I was 20 25 or might have just been 24. Just barely about to be. Maybe about to turn 25. I might have been 24. Anyway, what feels like ancient Jurassic times now in life. So it's been a long journey, but it's been a good one. But anyway, so yeah, we'll try to move on a little bit, and you know, going forward, guys, we might be a little more structured than this, or maybe not. We're just here.
We'd to, have to be
shoot the breeze and have fun, but. Just to move on into a little bit more of a topical discussion here a little bit. You know, Mike, of course, you co-hosting the show, kind of good situation for the first show, considering considering you are our newly crowned 2020 BDL champion. Now two-time champion in the BDL. By the way, you're listening to two-time champions. We consider calling this show the Deuce, but we had second thoughts about that after further study. In any case, congratulations. I'm glad to have been eliminated by the playoffs from or by the eventual champion.
I was glad to eliminate you, Scotty.
I'm sure that you were. If it was my destiny to be eliminated, I'm glad it was by the person who now wears the crown. But congratulations. And how does it feel to be a multi-time BDL champion?
That is an excellent question. It's something I really haven't given too much thought to, just because my team has failed in the playoffs for so many years. The winning last year felt more like of a relief than of the way I felt when I first won the title, to be honest with you. When I first won that title, like, I beat Bill in the final. I was basically taking out Darth Vader. That's the way I looked at that. You know, basically the entire league was cheering for me. I almost felt bad for Bill. Like, you basically had 14 teams that weren't in the final cheering for me to win, and then you had him. So that felt really, really good. The title last year, you know, 2020 is just such a weird year with COVID. And, you know, I know we had the whole, should there be an asterisk, you know, on the title forever wins. And everyone said, I know we shouldn't. And we probably shouldn't. But the championship was different than it would have been in any other year. That said, I don't think it was any easier for me, just because being in the East, you know, when that format first got laid out, you know, I think publicly I probably said, oh, it's a great format. In private, I probably looked at that and said, oh, what the hell is this? So wait a second. I got to beat Bill, and then I got to go through Matt most likely, and then I probably got to beat Scotty just to get to the finals. Like, this is obscene. Like, no playoff would ever be this hard to go through all these teams. The one good thing is I got Joe in the final, which was such a relief to not have to worry about winning. But like, this makes it so much easier. Thanks, guys, for doing that for me.
After the gauntlet that you had to run, I mean, it was just a consolation prize to have Joe in the
finals.
It's
the least they could have done. Like, you know, I'm sure there's not a lot of wrestling fans, but I basically had to beat Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Bret Hart, and then for the final, like, two midgets came out of the ring. Yeah, doink, you're born. Oh, great. Easy win time, guys. Sounds good. Yeah, so to answer your question, it feels good to be a two-time champion. It does feel
good. Well, that's stupendous. I am not happy for you because it came at my expense, but in any case, yeah, as a two-time champ, I know the feeling. I understand. Been there, and you know, that first title is that, or at least for me, was just that huge release of finally getting to that plateau after so many years trying to do that. And then number two, you know, you just kind of start to build upon your resume at that point and show that, you know, you are what you said you were, and you're not a fluke, and you're, you know, as a competitor, you're here to stay, and you're always going to be a force to be reckoned with or in some form or fashion. So, it's a good feeling. Mostly happy for you, although not 100%, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, what do you see your odds for a repeat, as we move into 2021? Do you think you're well positioned? And we don't have to get too deep into the weeds on this show. We'll save that for another follow up, but just in general, I mean, you know, do you feel that you were the best team last year and that it played out the way it was supposed to play out, and you're moving into 2021 kind of with that strength and that momentum, or is there work that you feel you need to do? I mean, what do you think your positioning is moving into 2021?
Yeah, that's a good question. In 2020, I think my team played the best. I'm not sure if we were the best team. I know in round two I played Matt, and I think that was a 5-5 tie that I went through on a tiebreaker. And his team, which going into the season, I think most would have considered his team the favorites. I know his team during that period had all sorts of issues with the guys missing games and that sort of stuff. And that's just baseball. That's going to happen. So is my team like the favorites going in? I wouldn't say that. I think my team, as they normally are going into the season, is one of a few teams that have a real chance to win going in. And I think my team has basically been that way, like basically for the better part of the last decade. Like, I've set this team up to go into each season as a contender, and then come mid-season, I can adjust. Like, if the team underperforms and it's time to sell off, you know, your older guys, like, as an example, if I don't have a really good year this year, at the trade deadline or before that even, I'd probably move a guy like a Nelson Cruz to a team that's going for a title or that sort of thing. And if the team is in compete mode, I would go at its deadline.
You know, truly, I think we have two GMs in the BDL that are masters at reloading rather than rebuilding. And that is, or those are, you and Bill of the Damage. The Damage may finally be near the end of the rope on that cycle. I think they're going to have to rebuild fully sooner than later. But
that's something we've said many times before, Scott.
That was my next point. I have lost count of how many times that sentence has been typed, uttered, broadcast in any form in this league. It has been said many times, and it has never been proven true so far. So I may be wildly wrong, but you have this masterful way of never really having to rebuild. You simply reload, and your first title came in, was it 2011? Is that correct?
That sounds right. Yeah, 2011. Yeah,
I think so. Bill, the Damage won in 9 and 10, and you stopped his three-peat attempt in 11, if memory serves. And
yes, that sounds right.
So it took you, I just say that to say, it took you 9 years, 9 seasons to follow up that first title with number 2. And looking back on that 9-year period, I think that's extraordinary that it took the Rockets that long to reap. And that's not a knock, by the way. That's a compliment, because of just what I'm just the point I'm making. You know, you always reload. You never rebuild. You're always competitive. You're always there in the playoff picture. Some years more strongly than others. But just by sheer, it's almost just by bad luck that it took you 9 more years to win number 2.
I wouldn't say completely bad luck. Like, to be honest, I think the only time post 2011, I think I probably had the best team maybe once or twice. I know, I think it was 2016. I had just an obscene team. And the thing with our league is we always have like 5 or 6 really, really good teams. And, you know, and it's just one of those things where I think my team, for the majority of the last decade, I've always been one of those 5 or 6, you know, really good teams. And going in the playoffs, each of us have, you know, a 16% chance or whatever to win the title. And sometimes things work out for you, and sometimes things don't work out for you. It's the way that I look at it. I think I've made the playoffs every year except for one over the past decade. And each year I made the playoffs going in, I thought I had a legit shot. But again, there were 4 or 5 other teams that also thought they had a legit shot. And, you know, that's playoff baseball. Sometimes things work out for you like they did for me last year. And you know, and chances are there's going to be a lot more years things don't work out for you. And that's basically what happened.
Yeah, and I wonder – how many people truly appreciate how difficult that is to, I think there are two very, very difficult things to do in fantasy baseball in particular. And those things are to effectively reload across a long period of time, or effectively rebuild over a short period of time of 2 or 3 seasons. You know, my MO across the history of the league for the Generals has been to purposefully bottom out and then turn that club around completely in a 24 to 36 month period. You know, there was the one season, or the 2 seasons back to back, that the Generals finished the prior season in last place in the standings and then won the regular season the following year. You know, when you can effectively flip that switch, that's not just happenstance. That is a really hard task to accomplish.
It's a lot harder than what I've done, honestly, Scott. I think it's a lot harder.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but my point is both of those tasks are incredibly, incredibly difficult to take. To take a 2011, because the landscape of fantasy sports changes so rapidly. You know, we all look at these prospects that we have and we're trying to build these dynasty level clubs and think, oh, I've got the next Harper, or I've got the next whoever, Acuna, and my outfield is set for 10 years. I don't have to make any adjustments to my outfield for 10 years. Does not matter. I'm good. I can put that on the shelf and focus on something else. Well, that rarely happens that way. You know, it rarely turns out that you don't have to retool something in what you thought you had shored up in the first place. So to cross a decade-long period like the Rockets have, and successfully reload across that amount of time, and always be in the title picture. Maybe not always have the best club, but always be in the title conversation. That's incredibly difficult too. It's really difficult to recognize when you need to make micro adjustments at just the right time to avoid having to bottom out and rebuild fully. It's incredibly difficult. And I think you should really be applauded for what you've been able to do for the last 10 years.
Yeah. I think the key really is just not to get old. As simple as that sounds, the thing that I like to do every year is I take my roster, and my players are all going to get 1 year older every year. That's just the way time works. And what I like to do is I like to get back 28 years in total age. So for instance, if I traded Nelson Cruz this year and I got back a 23-year-old outfielder that would be almost as good as him, I've just gained 17 years on my roster. And I try to do that every year. I try to trade off a couple of older guys and bring in a couple of young guys to replace them. And if you're constantly churning like that and you're not making major adjustments to the rest of your roster, you can tend to hang in that way. Now, again, it's not foolproof. Things are going to happen sometimes.
Sure.
But the thing I like to do is just never be in a spot where you have an old team, because then you run into the real distinct possibility of your team getting really old all at once, and then you have to bottom out, and then you have to rebuild it completely. And that's not the easiest thing to do. That is the really hard thing to do.
It's not easy, and you have to be careful to not fall into, you mentioned not letting yourself get too old. And I think the companion point to that is you don't want to get too old while not having enough assets in the cupboard to deploy corrective measures soon enough. You know, if you find yourself with an average age on your club of, you know, 33 years old,
you're dead.
And you are firmly entrenched in the number 11, 12, or 13 spot in the league, in the standings, league-wide standings. That is where clubs go to die. You know, mm-hmm. if those two things converge at the same time, you're going to have a really, really hard time recovering from that without a 5 or 6 year, you know, turnaround time, which is just utter agony. Mm-hmm. You just to kind of transition to a little bit of a second topic there, you know, you were able to do this, Mike, win title number two in COVID conditions. You know, we had a very unique season in the BDL in 2020, obviously, because of the pandemic and the restrictions that were placed on our daily lives, on sports in general, fantasy sports. There was a time I wasn't even sure whether CBS or Yahoo or any of the services were even going to bother with a fantasy product. And then, you know, really at that point, I mean, we're not going to keep track of things by hand in this day and age, like the old days. So what do you do then? Well, you just throw your hands up and say, forget it. We're going to punt the season. And I thought that we were very close to losing the season. Not necessarily that Major League Baseball was not going to conduct a season, play games in some form or fashion, but that for fantasy purposes, we were not going to have a kind of usable environment for fantasy to play games, enter a playoff tournament, crown a champion. I'm glad that was averted and that we got to play games. And, you know, going back to your point, I think the gauntlet that you had to run through in the playoffs based on the format, not only is there no asterisk, it's just asterisk with your title. It might have been one of the more difficult titles to win in the history of the league, the way the seeding was developed. So, very impressive run on all fronts. Just in general, how do you feel the season went, you know, our BDL season under COVID conditions? And of course your run through the playoffs, personally think that, we did just about as well as one could expect or hope from a fantasy league, given what we were dealing with.
Yeah, I think you're right, Scotty. I think at the end of the day, we did the best we possibly could. I don't know if the tournament format was your idea or Chris's idea, or a combination of the two, but whoever came up with it, I think really came up with a really great option for us last year. To be honest, I don't know if there was any other way out. Like I know some other ideas got bounced around at that time, but I think in hindsight, looking back, I think we definitely went with the best possible option with what we did. COVID messed up a lot of things, baseball just being one of them. And with the 2-week playoff rounds, if memory serves, that kind of took away some of the risk of teams having to miss a series because of guys testing positive and then having to make them up the next week. I think that cleaned up a lot of that potential problem. Had they all been 1-week playoff rounds, I think that would have been a bigger issue for us because teams may have been missing a nice chunk of the team for most of the week.
I agree.
And that could have been a real problem. So I think at the end of the day, and I'm not just saying this because I won the tournament, I think looking back, it's a good thing that one of the better teams in our league won the thing. And that makes it a lot easier to look at that champion as a deserving champion. Unlike if the 15 or 16 seed just went on a wicked run, won the title, and then went back to finishing last place the next year, I think that's something we would have looked back and said, oh, wait a second, that, I'm not sure if that's a legit title.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm very much a traditionalist on many things when it comes to our way of playing fantasy baseball. And I can't say that my initial reaction to, thinking about a 2-week matchup period format really excited me all that much. I don't like to deviate a lot from kind of how we normally do business. I think tradition and history matters in what we do. It allows you to compare, eras of the league against each other very well. It's a very apples to apples sort of thing. However, I think it was a necessity in this case, and it was just a perfect storm of needing to change things up a little bit in this scenario, so that in maybe not on paper, but in spirit, it resembled the competitive environment more closely to a regular BDL season and playoff bracket, as opposed to just the single weeks. I do have to give a lot of credit to Chris, for our format last year. He did come up with the bones, of the structure. I think I might have, looked at the proposal and tweaked, maybe two or three things minorly, just to suit, but, He came up with largely the framework there and presented it, and it, I thought it made a lot of sense for us. And so he is to be certainly commended for that format, for that proposal. I think it was very successful. With that said, I hope we don't have to use it in 2021. But if we do, we know that it's there. We know that it works, and I'll be comfortable doing so.
I agree with you. I'm hoping baseball can run as a normal season. I'm almost expecting it will. Like I think with what the NFL did, you know, and them being able to run their league with some problems, but not many problems. The NBA now is, you know, 2 weeks into their season, and they had the issue with Houston right off the bat. But outside of that, things are going pretty well, you know, so I'm kind of hoping baseball can run a pretty normal season with just the odd flare up here and there that they're going to have to tweak the schedule a little bit, but nothing that should impact us too much, I hope.
Yeah, the I hope baseball follows the NBA's lead a little bit on deploying those strategies to have a successful season. I think the NBA has been the poster child for how to do it. They've written the textbook on how to do it in a pandemic, and successfully, and protect the players, protect the community. They've done a fantastic job. And I don't know how much of that you can really replicate in a Major League Baseball environment. It's not apples to apples at all. But hopefully there are things that are cues that they can take to try to put on as complete of a season as is possible.
Agreed.
Okay, Mike. So we did actually have an opportunity to bring in a first guest for the inside on this initial show. So we're going to sit down just for a few minutes with Zach of the Memphis Chicks. And we're going to fact check the Chicks a little bit and see how close they are to really competing, or get Zach's take on that rather, and talk about that a little bit, and really just kind of say hello. And Zach's been around for more than a year now. I mean, he's not a newbie. He's not a stranger, but we haven't really had a chance in the league in a media setting to sit down and say hello and kind of meet him in that way. So we're going to take the opportunity to do that now. So without further ado. Okay, Zach of the Memphis Chicks, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah, you know, we used to do these kinds of introductions in the BDL all the time. Whenever we would have a new owner, they would be, you know, the next guest in line on whatever podcast or web show was popular in the league at that time. Of course, Zach's not really new to us anymore. Been around for what, a year and a half? You came in at the tail of 18, is that right?
I think so, yeah. I had the full 2019 season and then the 2020 season, yeah.
Cool. Well, so at least to my knowledge, this is the first time everyone is getting a chance to kind of hear Zach in his own voice, and we have an opportunity to say hello. So welcome to the league formally here from this new podcast that Mike and I are rolling the dice on, giving a shot. Still don't quite know what we're doing with it, but we're here to have some fun, and welcome. And hey, I understand you are a newly crowned champion. Tell us about that, Mr. Softball.
That is baseball, Scotty.
Fast pitch.
Yes, this is actually legit baseball. That was probably the highlight of my 2020 year. We had a 21 and up league that was all composite bats, and it slowly was folding with four teams. And this league is called the Hernando de Soto League, which is basically originated in Mississippi. It started in 1938. I believe, and it's still going strong today. And it's a 30 and up wood bat league. And my team, since our league folded, a lot of my best friends, we jumped into 30 and up. And it's really cool because it's a redraft league. So me and my guys who've been playing together for 10 years or more than that, honestly, we got put in a rookie draft. We had tryouts. My best friend got drafted in the first round, and our coach drafted me in the second round. So he drafted both of us, and we basically ran the league. I got a gold glove in center. My buddy got Cy Young. They keep stats. And the wild part about it was in the finals. You know, it got delayed because of COVID and everything, but they're supposed to do best of three series and everything else. They keep stats. Everybody loves baseball, would love to be part of this league. The coach for the other team didn't want to face us in a best of three, and they petitioned for one game. So we agreed to it. And the day before the game, our coach said, they said, although the Giants are home team, if there's a natural disaster, the lights go out, whoever's winning at that time is champ, because we're worried about COVID restrictions. So we said, fine. Mm-hmm. Long story short, we're up 5-1 in the seventh, and their pitcher goes in their dugout in the seventh inning and has a heart attack.
What?
And collapses. And his best friend is on my team. And, you know, I've never heard, you know, I don't want to be a downer, but I've never heard a grown man in this kind of pain on a baseball field. And he survived. But the long story short, I guess the commissioner goes, do y'all want to keep playing? And my coach goes, y'all made the rules. Whoever's winning during a natural disaster or anything like that's champs. And the Cardinals, who were facing, was like, no, we're finishing the game. But it was a downer on the finals, but we beat them 8-1. And it was a good first season in that league. And the good thing about it being delayed is that we start back up in 2 months. So I'm ready to roll again.
How old was the guy that had the heart attack?
In his, I'd say late 40s, early 50s. So he got rushed out to the hospital, and he had a second heart attack during surgery, and they put a stent in. And he survived. Our first baseman, his best friend, went with him. So he wasn't able to celebrate with us after the game. But we're going to try to get a get-together next weekend. I'm in Mississippi, so the restrictions aren't that bad like they are in Memphis. I'm like 5 miles south of Memphis in a different state. You know, we try to keep everything safe, obviously. Try to hang out outside if we can. But, you know, and if obviously someone feels bad or been close to somebody, they don't come out. But I don't know, it's a good group of guys. I don't get to play with them again next year. It'll be redraft. So it sucks, but it's cool because it keeps everybody even. And it's a real cool league. It was cool to win a gold glove. I was in competition for rookie of the year. I had 16 stolen bases in 14 games. And I had a lot of those blown by fouls. And I hit, I think, 351 for the season. So it was a good first season for never using a wood bat also.
Listen to Ty Cobb over here. Yeah, we used to have some several recreational leagues, baseball and softball around here like that. A lot of that interest has just dried up in my region. I don't really know of a quality league like that anymore. I'm not sure that I would have the time to play if one existed. I did participate in an exhibition tournament for charity. I guess that was summer before last. Man, that felt good. Had one home run that game. Hadn't gotten to do that in a long time. But yeah,
that's, what were the fences, like 200?
I think they were more like 112.
85 feet. 85 feet from home plate.
Oh, that's great.
It was regulation. Thank you very much.
it was just inside the base path.
We have a lot of leagues out here. And, you know, I play in a wiffle ball league too, which that's a whole nother story. It's fun. But I can't play too many anymore. I don't want to be out of the house, you know, 5 nights a week. Those were like right. 5 years ago. And my shoulder... save it for baseball. So we play baseball and wiffle both on Sundays, and it's just kind of a guy's day out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sadly, I would be in line for the 41 and up league now. Here coming up pretty soon. So Needless to say, I don't dive for fly balls anymore.
Oh, that's not him. Yeah, you just got to be fast enough to where you don't have to dive.
Cat-like. Man,
that's not happening either.
Man, I'll tell you what's crazy is there's a lot of 50-plus guys that are playing the 30 and up and going 50 and up in the same day. And these are nine-inning games.
God bless them is all I can say.
Yeah, I wish I hope I'm in that kind of shape in my 50s.
Well, Zach, you've been very vocal since entering the league, which is a good thing for the league. That's what we like in the BDL. But you've been very vocal about your team's trajectory, where the Chicks are headed. You have been very bullish about how competitive you expect to be in fairly short order. So just broad strokes, just a general impression, where do you feel your team is now compared to where it was when you took it over?
I feel like it's in much better position than when I took it over. I mean, I don't think I could have gotten much lower when I took the team over. I really don't know. I mean, obviously, the guy that previously owned this kind of was huge on the Braves pitching farm system, which I am too, which was a big highlight of grabbing this team. But the offense was terrible. And, you know, it's more of just a waiting game because the potential I have in my pitching is going to get there, and it's almost there now. It's more building the offense now and being patient and not selling the farm when the farm is my future. So it's one of those like, okay, it's going to be another year or two or whenever these guys blossom, you know. And last year was supposed to be the year that some of my big guys got called up, and some of them did, but you know, a shortened season, some didn't get that chance to get the reps in and get that call. So it might be, in my opinion, one more year until I really feel the full force of the team. And, you know, and of course your team's going to eventually crumble with that.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I stand at the moment. I mean, it depends, you know, also, are we starting baseball in May? Are we going to have some type of crazy setback? Is it going to be in June or July? And then all of a sudden, you know, it sucks because I've prized prospects, top prospects that are not getting their reps in.
Yeah, right. And I sent you myself, what, two or three or four of those prospects late last season in my playoff push. I guess the highlight probably would be Clark Schmidt. Looking back over the roster, I'm trying to recall that trade, but
you got the cheater Cano that probably won't play next season.
Oh yeah, well, you know, you when you're in the throes of the playoffs, you do what you have to do and learn not to have regrets. I mean, that's just part of the game, you know. You ship off guy like Mercado there that I sent you. I see on your roster. I had housed him in my minor league system for, gosh, probably 4 years. You know, waiting on that guy. I knew he had, you know, something special to potentially be a blue chip type player. We'll see what he transforms into. I think he has a chance to be pretty good. But you know, you hold on to those players sometimes for years and years. And then, you know, when the time is right, even if you're attached to them and you're wanting to see that fruit, you know, play out, you have to make the moves that you need to make in order to make yourself as strong as possible when you have a chance to win a title. I mean, I think that's the one thing that I have found in this league is that it is so bloody competitive that you cannot afford to not take that step. You know, even if you lose a 5-year, 10-year asset, you have to give yourself the best shot. I think Mike, now with two titles as well, there he would agree with that. I've seen him do the same thing over and over.
Yeah. Well, I think Scott, go ahead, Zach.
Oh, I was going to say, well, that trade was a no brainer. I gave you AJ Pollock and Robinson Cano. You know, I got Schmidt, Mercado, and I want to say I got a draft pick. Or you had
probably.
No, I think Something like that. But
it was Jackson Rutledge was the third guy you got.
Oh, was
it? Oh, gosh.
Yeah. See, and that
yeah,
was
that looks
such,
bad now.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing is, Cano was playing so well, and it's just like, what's going on here? Like, he's getting older. When's that next injury going to happen? And it was a no-brainer for my team because I had no chance of winning that year. So, yeah, it was a good trade for both of us at the time.
Well, and you know, Cano was playing really well last year at that time. And, you know, I know just speaking from experience with the two titles that I have, especially the first one, which was such a squeaker against the Crawford Cramps. Sometimes, you know, it's one or two or three RBIs or runs that will make the difference in whether or not you have a trophy on your shelf or not. And that's just part of the game, Mike. You know, it really is.
Yeah. I think the key really is to know if you're going for it this year. I think the mistake that some teams make is they're really good going for it and selling off their assets at one time to make that big move. They're not nearly as good going in the other direction. And the good thing about the move that Zach made last year with you is, again, he's trading a guy like Cano, who's, what, 37, 38 years old. He's trading AJ Pollock, who's, what, 32, 33, something like that. These are not going to be major pieces when his team is competing. So to hold on to those guys is just really wasting assets. So if you can make a move and improve yourself going forward, that's the way to go.
Yeah, Zach did what you're supposed to do in that position. If you are, you know, if you have a team that is, you know, in the bottom 50% of the league, and you're looking to make, you know, moves and pair yourself with playoff title contenders, you know, who are just looking for that extra inch or two or three of momentum, you know, of statistical punch to try to bang through a playoff round or two. You know, you look for those opportunities and mine their rosters for assets that they are not utilize or can't utilize at this time because they're too young. And you take advantage of that. And that's not to say that the contending team doesn't understand what they're getting into, but you know, you look for those happy marriages in the moment. And yeah, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but you have to put the dice on the table. Mm-hmm. Well, Zach, just in general, what has been your overall impression of the BDL so far? I mean, I have to ask, you know, I think, you know, you and I had sort of met online through a different game, two or three years, or I'm losing track of time now. Anyway, some time before you joined the BDL, and I happened to learn that you were a big baseball fan, and knowing how active you tend to be with other things, I thought, well, this guy probably would be a really good fit for us. You know, when we have an opening, when we have an opportunity for him to hop into the frying pan here. I think that has paid off. I think you've been a great addition so far. What have been the primary things that have impressed you about this league? Hopefully there's at least one.
it's very well organized league. Some of my other leagues, we've actually discussed, you know, a lot of my friends have talked about dynasty leagues and stuff, and I've brought this format to their attention as far as a dynasty league. And the way you guys run it, it takes a lot because, you know, obviously we talk about last year's debacle with, you know, roster spots and everything else. And, you know, you got to kind of keep everybody on tabs with that. And, you know, I tell all my friends here in Memphis, you know, how you guys run a dynasty league and how it can't be like, you know, football. The rosters have to be so much deeper. And I think all my friends get scared and run away from a dynasty league in baseball because of how much work it takes and overlooking rosters and, you know, the honesty policy of people. Seems like you guys have a really tight-knit group of friends that, you know, that you really focus on this league and everybody takes it serious, especially for it not being a money league. You know, cause you get people that with, there's no money involved. They just tend to not care as much. Whereas, you know, you guys, you know, obviously really care and want to win this. You have a very active board that you discuss on, which, you know, I'm still getting used to that. That app works out a lot better than me being on a desktop. But it seems like y'all run very well as far as like, you know, potential rule changes in the off season, everything else, giving out all these types of awards and, you know, these podcasts. I mean, it shows you guys really love baseball and that y'all have a tight knit group. So it's good to be part of, you know, as I get to know everybody over the next seasons and everything else.
Well, it's great to have you, and I hope that we have an opportunity collectively to, you know, at least half a league or so, maybe to get together again sometime when the world gets a little back to normal. You know, we in prior years have held BDL weekend activities in various cities, mainly on the East Coast. But I would really love to do that again when it's safe to do so. Lord knows when that will be. But so just looking ahead to this season, and this, let's just make an assumption that this season for fantasy purposes will, you know, it may not be exactly normal, but maybe it resembles a normal scenario, at least more so than last year. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the plateau for the Chicks in 2021? Do you feel this is the year you take a larger step to become a lower tier playoff team? Are you still knocking on that door? Where do you see yourself this year?
I think I have some very big question marks, and if the question marks come through, then I think I will compete to make the playoffs. Now, those question marks would be like Alec Bohm. Is he going to have a sophomore slump, or is he going to come out and rake like he did last season? You got J.P. Crawford. I didn't know if he was going to be anything, and he ended up being decent. Are we going to get the Margot that we had in the playoffs last year that's going to steal a ton of bases and get on base finally? I think Kyle Tucker's there. I think he's going to be a beast.
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah. And I think one of my biggest question marks, and it's probably going to be a no, but can Byron Buxton stay healthy?
Nope.
You know, he came in strong at the very end of the season. The guy needs to quit playing so hard. The guy has potential, steal 40 plus bases and hit quite a few home runs in that lineup. So that's another big question mark. Pache coming up, I think he'll be a good baseball player. You know, and that's just hitting. I think that those big question marks right there, if they all hit, I'm definitely competing because I think my pitching is going to be there. But, you know, that's saying that there's no injuries and everything else.
Mike, you and I know a thing or two about Mr. Buxton, do we not?
We do. I owned him years back. I love the profile. I thought the kid was going to be a superstar. I traded him. I can't remember if I traded him to you or you traded him to me, Scotty. But
two or three times, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. He is just so frustrating because if you were going to build a baseball player, he would look kind of like Byron Buxton. Like, he's got power, he's got speed. He should be a really good baseball player. And he is, for a week here and a week there. And then he'll smash into a wall and break a finger and he'll be out a month. And it's just, it is so frustrating to have a guy like that because your fear is you trade him and he instantly becomes what you thought he always was. So he's such a frustrating guy to move. But, you know, he has been in the league like a while now. Like, I can't remember exactly how old he is, but I'm thinking he's, what, 26, 27? Like, we've been talking about him forever. And he's just one of those guys you're afraid to move.
He's 27.
He's 27,
I'm telling I'm the one that traded Giolito for him. I forgot who was involved in that trade. but I'm that high on Buxton, and I thought he was basically a Cunha without the power. And he had more, I think, more swing and miss. I think he's going to obviously strike out a lot more, but I think he was going to be a 275, 20 home run, 40 plus stolen base guy. And I'm so high on him here, just to let you know, my friends text me when it's Buxton's birthday. I legit own him in most leagues every season, because I'm not going to own him every season when he sucks. And then the 1 year I pass on him, he is a beast. I'm just going to ride and die with him until he retires.
Well, it's a feast or famine situation, I have learned with Mr. Buxton. Hopefully the same will prove true for the Chicks as well.
Yeah, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe he goes on a hot streak and I sell him this year.
Yeah, I can't see that happening. Yeah.
You can't see him selling, or you can't see the hot streak?
I can't see him selling. If he gets hot, I think that's just going to be one of those things. See, I was right all along. I'm never letting go of this guy.
And then you're 100%
yeah.
correct.
Yeah.
I would sell on the ninth second of realizing what was going on. I would sell that fast. Gone. That's just me. I've been through the fire with Buxton.
Yeah, you're not a risk guy though.
You're a for sure. I'm a little more optimistic, a bit more optimistic on Buxton than Scotty is, because the majority of his problems, I think, just come back to health. Like if he's able to stay healthy for a season, and at that point he doesn't perform, then I will gladly get rid of him. But he's had 1 year where he was somewhat healthy, and he had a pretty good season. Now, granted, that was like 3 years ago, but the 1 year he was healthy, he was a pretty good baseball player. Like he was. I don't know, 15 or so home runs. I think he stole 30 bases. Like if he's just that guy, he's pretty good. And get back on the juice then.
Well, you know, he hit 13 home runs last year. I mean, he didn't even play much last year.
No,
he went on a super hot streak. You know, I don't know how many games. I can look at it right here. He hit 13 home runs in 39 games.
Yeah.
I mean,
he didn't run last year though, right? He didn't run at all though last year, which concerns me.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like he can't run. I don't know what the game flows were like, and everything else, because, you know, they have such a loaded lineup. That's another thing that concerns me. Why run when you have these big bats behind you? So
yeah,
that's kind of like a George Springer with Astros thing, right? Why run when you have hitters behind you? I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's kind of hard to tell a player not to play hard. And that's what you have to tell people like Buxton and Harper, the guys that could be your superstars. I mean, you can let that ball fall in the outfield and not go in the DL for 3 weeks.
Good deal. Well, Zach, I guess we'll just wrap up with this question. Who do you see, or do you care to make any prediction for our 2021 champion? Who do you see as the front runner for this season?
Ooh, I'd have to actually go through and look at the teams to really make that assumption. Of course, I would never vote for you.
Fair.
If you're going to win the division, win it now, because once I completely build my team, there's going to be a little bit of dynasty in the South. So just take advantage while you can. Get all your Canoes and AJ Pollocks while you can. I don't know. The Cramps seem to always do a very good job. I don't know. You put me on the spot. I'd have to go look to really make a prediction. I'd have to go and look at the teams and really make that prediction.
Fair enough. Well, you continue to build around Buxton. I'm not going to worry about the Chicks too much. But in any case, Zach, thanks for joining us. It was fun, and hopefully we can have you back again soon and check in, see how the season is going here in a few months for the Chicks.
Sounds good. Hopefully we have a full season.
We're all hoping for that.
Yep. All right. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, bud.
All right. Thanks, man.
Okay. Thanks again, Zach. Really appreciate you coming on. Hope to talk to you again soon. It was a fun discussion. Thanks to your lovely wife for giving you permission to join us on this podcast as well, as I'm sure you had to ask her permission.
I think the main takeaway from that discussion, Scott, is Zach needs to draft Zach, because Zach as a baseball player is better than anything else that he has on his roster right now.
He apparently is Ty Cobb.
It sounds like it. Sure does.
Very nice. Very nice. I don't believe that was truly a fast pitch league, though. I don't know how old Zach is now. I guess maybe late 30s or something, or mid 30s. But
well, fast is relative, right? You know, like it's fast compared to what, you know?
Compared to Craig Hunter throwing a speed ball at the at Nationals Park there a few years ago. We still have that on film, by the way. I think you registered.
I did see video of that, and I thought it was in slow motion. And then I found out, no, this is in full speed.
I'm trying to – did that register like 42, 45 miles per hour?
Yeah, something like that. I'm not sure if it was that fast, honestly, Scotty.
We still love you, Craig. Still getting mentions on BDO Radio. That's your that's your lasting legacy.
That's how you know you're a legend. That's how you know you're a legend.
that's true. That's true.
And we're still making fun of you 10 years later. That's how you know you're a legend.
Okay, so switching gears a little bit. Mike, BDBA discussion. Let's talk a little bit about hoops. So if this is for all you are you exclusive BDO guys, if this is the period in the show you want to tune out, please feel free to do so. But we hope you stick around. First and foremost, you know, just let it be known we're talking, of course, to a five-time BDBA
five times.
Co-host on this show, Mr. Mike here, and seven total trophies in the BDBA between the two of us. So nice resume.
Not too bad at all.
Nice resume, but glad to have Hoops back. I was a complete doofus and missed the waivers period.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you were.
So there's that, and I'm going to blame. Am I allowed to blame COVID for that?
You can, but a bunch of us were able to get our claims in, so I don't know if that'll hold up.
Is that Craig calling in right now?
I think it might be either a duck cleaner, one or the other.
Put Craig on hold. Tell him we don't have time for him this show.
I shall do that.
I was a complete and utter tool. Oh, and I should say, while we're talking, I don't want to throw shade at Kevin, the double dribble downs, co-champs in 2019, mm-hmm. last season. So
COVID saved them from a beatdown, Scotty. COVID saved them.
Oh my. Well, we won't dive too far down
that hole,
but, great to have Hoops back. What did you feel there were any standout waiver pickups throughout this period, preseason period, Mike, that you think really will help turn a team around or bolster the title hopes for a particular club? Or
yeah, to be honest, I think the obvious one is the first one. You know, Chris making the pickup of Dame Lillard. Now how that happened, how these guys were cut. Like, I know on the forum, I think it was Justin that cut a couple guys, I guess not paying attention to the rules changes, and then telling us after we'd run waivers that, oh, that was a mistake. It's like, oh, that sucked. But, it wasn't like we could undo everything that happened. But Chris went from the worst team in the league to maybe a pretty good team now, just based on a couple of the guys he picked up via waivers. So that was big. The thing that got me was, the night prior, maybe the night before that, I was on the phone with Tony, who, for all that don't know, is my brother-in-law. And we were talking about guys who were going to claim. And I know he put in a bunch of claims, and I had like 9 or 10 guys. And at one point, he asked me how many of the guys I thought I was going to get. And my answer was 2. I was hoping to get like my 6th or 7th option, and then hopefully not all of them would be claimed, and I would be able to get somebody in the second round. That was my hope. And I woke up the next morning, and I checked my email, and I think I'd claimed 6 players. And I'm like, how did this happen, and what am I going to do with all of these guys? So I got John Wall, and I'm pick 9. John Wall had no business getting to pick 9.
Yeah, that's
– and then I get Fred VanVleet in the second round, and somehow Klay Thompson was hanging around the 3rd. And it's like, this almost seems unfair. But I was happy and took the guys. No problems with that. And I'm sure Kevin was probably just as happy being able to add like a Draymond Green at pick 10. And I know he got another really good player at what would have been pick 20 had everyone got their claims in. But, you know, I think a bunch of us were really fortunate that I think 4 teams didn't put claims in. And we were able to really improve our rosters on that day.
Yeah, it shifted the landscape of the league a little bit. I don't know that necessarily it changed the title favorite or not. May just have made the undrafted free agents more so of a favorite to repeat as co-champions. Very interested to see what Boston is able to do to kind of counter that this year. My Cobras, we had really good runs earlier in the life cycle of the BDBA, and these last 2 or 3 seasons, I don't really understand why we can't really gain any ground, and make more noise than we've been able to, but
yeah,
is what it is. I like the roster a lot, but,
I'm looking at it, and it's honestly, it's a good looking team. Like on paper, this is actually a pretty good team. So
I think so. Yeah, I think so. But kind of the larger headline of course, we're into the season now, but we're just kind of tidying up a couple preseason topics for the BDBA in this first show. The real headline was, of course, the draft that occurred or started rather on December the 7th. Really where we see, the true influx of new talent into the league every year, obviously. I don't know that there were any huge surprises, on the first day of the draft. LaMelo Ball going number 1, to the Tropics. I probably would have made a different call there. I don't know that Ball in this draft, which was a very weak draft, in my opinion, really should have fallen past probably pick number 3 or so. Number 1, a little bit of a reach in my view, but you know, he has looked pretty good early on so far, professionally. And, you know, LaMelo is, I think, the type of player where, you know, he stands to either make a couple or 3 all-star teams in his career, or be out of the league in 5 years. I think there are equal odds for either scenario, with LaMelo, and, hopefully for the Tropics, it's the former, and he sees some real success there. That's jury's going to be out on that for some time. Any round 1 surprises that jump out at you, Mike?
Yeah, well, with Ball, to get back to your point, I was also surprised he went number 1. I figured he would go 2 or 3. This is a kid who could be a really good player in this league for a long time. He just isn't a good jump shooter. And when you're a guard and you're not a really good jump shooter, that could go one of 2 ways. Either you develop that shot and the kid becomes a star, or you don't develop that shot and you're in real trouble, because everyone's just going to fade off you when they defend you. And it's going to be really hard to drive when you can't shoot. So that said, he was really bad in his first game. He's been pretty good since. So I hope he has a really good career. The guy that I really liked in this draft was the guy that went 2nd. I think James Wiseman is going to be a star. I have a 10-year-old daughter who loves the Golden State Warriors, so I'm forced to watch all their games. So I've seen him play 3 or 4 times, and he looks like he doesn't really know what he's doing, and he still looks really good. Like, this is a 19-year-old guy that I think played 3 games in college and has gone straight to the NBA. And to me, he just reminds me a little bit of Giannis. Just this athletic freak.
Whoa.
I think this kid could be really, really good for a long, long time.
That's tall praise.
Yeah. He's like, when you watch him play, like, a guy that big shouldn't be able to move the way he does. And, you know, I think it was game 2 or 3. You know, I think he had a couple of threes in the 2nd or 3rd game. And the fact he's just comfortable taking that shot, never mind making it, on a team like Golden State is really saying something. So I could see him being really good for a long time. And with me saying, there's no way I'm going to be able to trade for him now, but I wish I could, because I think he's going to be a really good player.
I think it's a real shame that he was able to fall to the Warriors in the NBA. I hope that does not become a Tim Duncan situation.
I was just about to say, reminds me of Tim Duncan. Yeah.
Yeah. That's that. I have a little bit of fear of that, but hopefully that's not the case. I think the Warriors, you know, they're on a downward, I mean, other than, of course, picking up Wiseman, that was huge. But, mm-hmm. You know, I think Draymond is certainly on the back end of his effectiveness, both in the NBA and in fantasy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you know, Clay is coming up on a 2nd straight missed season.
Yeah.
Who knows whether he will ever be,
what he was,
you know, what percentage of the player he was, you know, will be left. Hopefully he makes a full recovery for his sake and his family, but that's yet to be seen. And you know, Steph's starting to get a little older too. I mean, it's not an old club, but it's not the Warriors the Warriors of 4 years ago. So I don't know that we're looking precisely at a San Antonio situation here, but there's certainly shades of that.
Yeah, I think the only way this becomes the San Antonio situation is if Wiseman becomes what his pure upside is. And at that point, it might become that. But again, it'll mean that in 2 years that he's the best player on that team, which, you know, hopefully they're sick. He is, but that remains to be seen, as they say.
Well, in 2 years, I think there's a fair chance of that. I mean, that's no disrespect to Steph Curry, but you know, Steph's not, you know, he can be a sharpshooter forever. I mean, Ray Allen could have played until he was 48 probably and drained 3 threes a game off the bench. So there's a place for guys like that in the NBA, but you know, Steph with his explosiveness, and his ability to defend, you know, that's, you know, those things are not going to last forever. And I think there's a real chance that Wiseman is the best player on the Warriors club in 2 or 3 seasons for sure.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Steph is he looks so young. You know, he has that baby face. So people just assume he's 21 years old. He's actually 32. Like, you know, people don't realize how old he is. So, like, you know, in 2 or 3 years, there's not a lot of really great 35-year-old point guards in the league. Like,
it doesn't work that way.
That's not something you
especially
see.
Especially not with an injury history of his kind either. Anyway, I'm not going to cry about seeing the Warriors take a step or 3 back. no disrespect to your daughter. And how did you let that happen?
How was your daughter? Tony, my brother-in-law, is the only Golden State fan in this country, it seems. And I can't even call him a bandwagon fan, because when he was growing up, that team was awful forever. So he's probably going back to like the Run TMC days. And for like their 6th or 7th birthday, he got them both Steph Curry jerseys. So are they both and again, being kids, they looked at the standings and saw, hey, these guys keep winning the championship. We're a fan of them. And so they remain fans of the Warriors. And in something that was quite comical, the Warriors played the Raptors, as you know, a couple years ago in the final, and the entire house is celebrating. And my daughters are crying. And it's like, this is the city is exploded with joy. And my two daughters are crying their eyes out because their team just lost the NBA Finals. And I'm like, it's not fair. And I'm like, I grew up a Knicks fan. That's not fair. Your team won, did nothing but win from the time you put that jersey on. Be happy that you have the titles you have. So
I would like to issue a standing invitation to Tony to join the show at any time, and we will discuss Chris Webber for at least 30 minutes.
Oh boy, that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Well, I'm expecting it to be. anyway.
Yeah, so for the draft, okay. beyond that, pick three was yours. That was Halliburton. I thought it was a little high, but he's been really good right off the bat. And to be honest, I didn't think this was a really, really deep draft. I thought
there were
six guys I thought that should be drafted in this league. Ball, Wiseman, Halliburton, Edwards, Toppin, who the Knicks have already got hurt, surprise, surprise. And then the point guard of Detroit, Killian Hayes. Beyond that, I didn't think there was anybody else that should have been drafted in our league. I know there were another two or three guys that were, and I wouldn't be surprised if all three of those guys are cut before the end of the season.
Yep. Agreed. Horrible draft. Probably the worst draft since the Joe Smith draft that I can recall anyway. Not good, but
not super
any
deep,
chance,
nope.
The 5-time champs, as you noted, passed in round one. If that tells you anything, didn't even want to waste a roster spot on a draftee this year. So, but in any case, great to have Hoops back, and it's great to be back on the air. Mike, really enjoyed this. Can't wait to get together again for another show. Again, appreciate Zach very much for joining us today. And guys, we're going to try to see you as soon as possible. So Mike, really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Scotty. It was fun, and hopefully we'll do another one soon.
Okay. Later, guys.